This is the Wild Crime Report for Tuesday, the 16th of April, 2024. The Wild Crime Report is a bite-sized summary of what is happening around the world in the realm of environmental crime. It brings together a collection of the important stories that hit the press, be it seizures, prosecutions, or interesting developments that impact our most protected species. And yes, this is the second time I'm delivering this on a Tuesday. I'll be endeavouring to get back to normal programming next week on the Monday, so you can be starting your week off with a little roundup of wildlife news from around the globe. Now let's get into some information. In Singapore last week, a 63-year-old Singaporean man, Liao Seng Lee, was sentenced to prison for 16 months after he pled guilty to illegally importing protected birds from Malaysia. Liao, a pet shop owner, was found to be working with two other men, one Singaporean and one Malaysian, to smuggle the birds from Malaysia to Singapore via the Johor Bahru road route that connects the two countries. The group had been found to be running this smuggling route multiple times until Singapore Immigration Agency, ICA, seized the Malaysian transporter with 337 live birds in his truck. Fortunately, ICA officers did what doesn't often happen in wildlife seizures, and instead of concluding their investigation there, they let the transporter follow through with his mission to meet the buyers in Singapore. It's what in law enforcement terms is considered a controlled operation. With the Malaysian transporter travelling to Singapore to firstly meet the broker and exchange money, the broker himself was then arrested by investigating officers, before the broker, in turn, was used by officers to finalise the transaction and meet with the principal buyer, who was Liao. All of this overseen by the arresting officers, who gathered evidence of the entire supply route and managed to catch the principal financier and owner of the stock, who is now convicted and behind bars. I can't stress enough how encouraging it is to hear wildlife law enforcement stories like this. Just like if police or customs seized drugs in an airport or on a courier, the investigation would never rest there. They would interrogate the transporter, perhaps examine their belongings, and ultimately, if the opportunity presented itself, conduct a controlled operation where the drugs, or a replacement commodity, could travel with the transporter under police surveillance in order to identify other members of the syndicate. So it should be for wildlife, which in this context is just another illegal commodity. It's refreshing that enforcement officers in Singapore saw the opportunity and took it, and it's a reminder of how effective controlled operations are at dismantling networks and putting pressure on the real perpetrators of the illegal wildlife trade. Now in Australia, another person who will be spending a similar amount of time in jail is Chinese national Bishuan Zhang. The 33-year-old student was found guilty of attempting to smuggle 43 Australian reptiles last December and January from the state of New South Wales to that bustling reptile market of Hong Kong. Fortunately, Zhang's efforts were thwarted by investigators within several government departments, including the Federal Department of Climate Change, Energy, the Environment and Water. Within the plastic containers that were stopped, a various array of lizards were concealed within plastic children's toys, with some reptiles even inserted into rubber toy animals. Sneaky but not sneaky enough. Zhang was sentenced to 2 years and 4 months in jail, but it's likely he'll only serve a minimum 14 months inside before being eligible for parole. And lastly, following on from the stories we've shared in recent weeks regarding the large ivory seizures already seen in 2024, a story was covered this week in various news outlets that the government of Zimbabwe has a reported ivory stockpile of 166 tons made up of around 26,000 pieces. You can make a crude estimate and assume that to be the equivalent of around 13,000 elephants, but either way you cut it, it's a lot of raw ivory, just sitting around in the stockrooms of government premises, wildlife reserves, parks, and estates. Why did this get reported? Well, the Zimbabwe Environment Minister, Sithembiso Nyoni, was reporting to Parliament about the human-wildlife conflict in the country and lamenting about the cost of eliminating poaching and the conservation efforts to keep elephants thriving in Africa. A cost that 106 tons of raw ivory could very well go some way to remedy. Zimbabwe is just one country that has not hidden the fact that they wish to commercialize the ivory trade. And they are not alone. Five other Southern African nations agree with them: Angola, Botswana, Namibia, Tanzania, and Zambia. All six were pushing for such a proposal at the last CITES Conference of Parties in 2022, yet they were denied. Understandably, these are countries looking for much-needed revenue in challenging times and with their own economic hurdles to leap. And you'd have to assume that with the latest national biodiversity economy strategy being floated by South Africa, the South Africans might be the seventh country to add to that block to try and push for legal commercialization of wildlife products like ivory. The problem is, history has shown that a legal sale of ivory has backfired in the past. In 1999, CITES allowed for a one-off sale of 50 tons of ivory from Botswana, Namibia, and Zimbabwe to Japan. That one-off was then a two-off when they allowed it again in 2022, another 60 tons from Botswana, Namibia, and South Africa to the Asian markets. And what transpired in the 2000s and 2010s was an increase in the seizures of elephant ivory globally, and of course, a rise in poaching of African elephants, which conservation experts are confident contributed to a population decline of around 20% from 2006 to 2016. In short, it was an unmitigated disaster, with regulation of ivory transactions being less than transparent in the Asian market, and the legal loophole being easy for traffickers to traverse. But don't expect these countries to give up. As long as there are hundreds of tons sitting in warehouses across Southern Africa, it's a commodity with a speculative value. So there aren't going to be any ivory burns or crushes anytime soon. One concern is just how secure those stockpiles are, especially when we see large seizures of ivory starting to surface in the last 12 months in the region. 7 tons from Angola in March 2023, 4.8 tons in Mozambique last month. One last point. Most press articles reported the Zimbabwe ivory stockpile as representing $700 million. At that figure, 166 tons would represent a value of just over $4,000 per kilogram. Incredibly overpriced, and only a mug would be buying ivory in Africa at that rate. As I've said before, take prices you read in the press with a massive grain of salt. And that is the Wild Crime Report for this week. Just a reminder that if you're tuning into this via Spotify, Apple, or wherever else you get your podcasts, check out the Wild Crime Report on Substack, where you can sign up and get the accompanying newsletters, as well as some additional content that is in the pipeline. I'm Matt Durrant. Until next time, stay wild and keep the animals there too.